Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. He's the one that rates the films in which the actors deserve no salary. From Straight Talk to Donnie Darko to Karate Kid Part 2. These are the movies that absolutely blew. These movies are so terrible they make you go berserk. You'd rather watch C-SPAN or the Home Shopping Network. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies suck so bad that you'd rather drink pee. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies fucking suck. I'm your host, the Z-Man. Anyways, that was a little intro onto what we're going to review today. The Neverending Story Part 3, Escape to Fantasia. More like Escape to Fagtasia. This movie is fucking atrocious and should never even be linked to the Neverending Story. It is unbelievable what Hollywood will do to fucking create a trilogy and run a franchise right into the ground. I mean, it's like they took a shovel and they said, here, we already made Neverending Story Part 2, the next chapter, a little bit shitty. Keep on digging and keep on throwing dirt on the Neverending Story so we can bury this fucking franchise and make money off of it and laugh it to the bank, because this is a fucking piece of shit and a fucking horrible waste of money and actors' time. I mean, I am so mad right now after watching this movie. You have no idea how long it took me to get to this review and to actually, like, sit down and want to watch this movie, because you really don't want to watch this movie. I mean, you'd rather sign up for a concentration camp, you know, then watch this film. You'd rather stick your head out in traffic and have the car, like, tire run over your friggin' head than watch this friggin' horrible film. I mean, you'd rather stick your head in a toaster and have your hair, like, electrified than to watch this film. I am dead serious. You'd rather stick a firecracker up your ass and then, like, you know, have it explode. I mean, it is that bad. I mean, oh, I can't tell you how bad this film is. And it's just, it's so bad that you'd probably rather sit through Jaws 4 than watch this film. I mean, Jaws 4 looks like an Oscar nominee compared to this fucking sequel piece of shit. I mean, If I saw somebody in Rogers, Ohio, you know, which is like the flea market capital of the world, if you've ever been up there, if I saw a guy in Rogers, Ohio, selling this, you know, DVD, I'd take the DVD and slice his head open with it. I mean, and then fucking get a sledgehammer and fucking start pounding this piece of shit right into the ground, beyond disintegration. I mean, I would take a proton neutron blaster and fucking split this piece of shit into nothing but atoms. I mean, it's horrible. It's not even, like, I bet you the recycling center would freaking call me if I dropped off this DVD and be like, listen, we can't have this toxic piece of shit on our grounds. I mean, they would actually take this back. I bet you if I dropped it off to the Salvation Army, they'd be like, sorry, we don't take DVD requests for the Never Ending Story 3. I mean, I can ship this to New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina, and I'm pretty sure that they'd throw it right back to my face and say, here, you fucking dick, why'd you send us this? This is horrible. I mean, seriously, like, this film is just butt-fucking-awful. It's like a bad joke, like, here, you want to watch the Neverending Story 3? It's the Neverending Story. You put this to a fan, like a Neverending Story fan like me, it's just an awful joke. It's like an April Fool's prank or something, you know? Sit through this shitty film. It's really good. Yeah. It goes right along with the fucking story. Meanwhile, there was never a third book in the first place, so why was this film made? To create a trilogy. Like, why do all movies have to aspire to be trilogies? This had no business being a trilogy. It was never meant to be that way. Oh, man. But let me take you back before we go and dive into this awful film. And take you back to, like, the 1980s, you know? And what I remember from them. Pretty much, I watched a lot of cartoons, like Saturday morning cartoons, but you always needed a break after that, because I remember Saturday mornings, it was like a long day, because you didn't have school, and, you know, you could act like an idiot all day. I mean, I used to, like, you know, run around the house and spin, like, in a circle the whole entire time while, like, there was, like, a RoboCop cartoon in the morning, there was, like, Fantastic Max, you know, the Dirty Diapers, you know, and there was also, a bunch of other cool cartoons, like Muppet Babies, Muppet Babies, you know, kind of like that. I mean, it was really cool stuff. So, like, basically, I mean, I used to spin around the house all day, and I'd get really sick, you know. My mom thought I was, like, on crack or something, you know, and, she'll always be like, Adam James, you're going to get yourself sick spinning in a circle like that all day. And I'd still ignore her, and, you know, I'd just keep on spinning the entire time like a nut. So, anyways, besides that, I remember, you know, at about 12 o'clock noon, all the cartoons would be done. I mean, that kind of noontime, lunchtime kind of signaled the end. So it was depressing, you know, because you only got to watch, like, cartoons once a week. I mean, there wasn't really any, like, cartoon channels back then. You just kind of got your cartoons for the week, and if you, you know, didn't get to watch them, or they, you know, you were waiting on new ones, and there were old ones, and you already seen them, you had to wait until, like, next week. So, it really sucked. So, it was nice when they would put a 12 o'clock movie on, and it would be the Never-Ending Story, because most of the channels did that, like Fox and stuff. They would have the Saturday afternoon movie. So, like, I was just thrilled when they put this movie on, and I was just like, holy crap, like, this movie's so awesome, there's so much to it. And there really is, when you think about it. I mean, what other movie has a boy reading a book that's about him, but in a different world? And the worlds run completely parallel to each other. One's called Fantasia, the other's called Earth. I mean, it was just great. It was just such creativity beyond imagination. And the fact of the matter is that the puppetry in the film was magnificent. And It wasn't until recently, you know, when I looked at other films that had puppetry and stuff and you know, future films, and, you know, they've gone into this whole CG effect mode thing that, you know, personally I'm not really a big fan of, but, I mean, it wasn't until then that, you know, I really appreciated what the Neverending Story brought. And, it's just great. Like, the effects are awesome. It's just an overall good movie. And the antagonist is actually nothing. It's called The Nothing, you know? And nobody knows why. Like, and one of the best scenes in that movie is the wolf. You know, the wolf in that film, when it's going after Atreyu, Atreyu says, "Hey, we'll die here if we don't help each other." Wolf's like, "Fuck you, I'm not helping you. I could care less if I die, because it's the nothing, you know? So you're gonna die anyways." So it's a very dark film, to a certain extent, but at the same time, like, the boy was eventually able to save Fantasia because he linked the fact that he believed in his mom, and he also believed in this world, because, I mean, the boy's mom died and he stopped having any belief in himself at all. He had no confidence. His dad was a complete dickhead. And overall, it was just an excellent film. Excellent, excellent film. Probably one of my, you know, childhood favorite films. Now, part two, it ran into a little bit of trouble. It wasn't exactly great. It kind of bombed. But it wasn't that bad. There was a book after it. And, you know, give it credit. I mean, where it's due. It had its moments. You know, I kind of like the idea of the baby rock monster. And I love the fact that they brought the rock monster back. You know, and the fact that they brought Atreyu back and his white horse and all those different things. I didn't like the fact of the witch. I thought that lacked creativity. From the last antagonist, the nothing. I kind of liked the idea of the nothing, you know. So, and again, I mean, part two wasn't that bad, but part three, by the time you get to fucking part three, it is so bad. Like, it has no place. There was never a third book, so, like, why did they have to make a third movie? Like, who decided to fuck? There was a great idea to produce this piece of shit. And sure enough, I found out today that this film is actually linked to Disney. It's Disney Home Entertainment when you put it in. So I'm wondering, and Jim Henson's group had involvement in this, which is unbelievable, because I thought the puppetry in this was a piece of shit. And usually, you know, I mean, Jim Henson would be turning in his grave right now, like, puking and angry right now at the type of puppetry that went on in this film. I mean, it's disgraceful. It is fucking disgraceful. I could come up with better, you know, costumes and stuff than this film did. What a piece of shit. So, anyways, one of my, you know, big concerns about this film was the fact that how bad would it bury the Neverending Story, and why people forgot the Neverending Story? Because, I mean, you ask anybody on the street, and they have no idea that there was actually a third film to the Neverending Story. They're like, no, there never was a third book, so why would there be a third film? Exactly. So why did this piece of shit have to be made? Like, and why is it on television on, like, Fox Family and stuff? It's a disgrace. Like, it's like Hollywood decided, okay, we're gonna bury the Neverending Story. It's already halfway buried because part two was pretty bad. So let's just keep on digging. Let's keep on digging. Let's rip people off and be like, here, you want to watch a shitty movie? It's the Neverending Story. It's pretty good. It's got to be pretty good, right? Nah, I bet your ass it's not. It's so fucking horrible that like I said, you'd rather, like, listen to, you know, the NASA channel. You'd rather watch the NASA channel all day than this film. I mean, you'd rather listen to Astronauts in Space, or have a librarian give a convention on the Dewey Decimal System. I mean, it's that bad. And, I can't put into words just how awful it is. Like, you just don't even watch this film. Disintegrate it, take a sledgehammer, hit it so hard that it breaks into little atoms, and never allow anybody to sell this movie. They should be paying the person to take this film away. It is awful. So, I almost want to call Netflix and be like, listen, you need to eliminate this film off your list. It's that shitty. Well, before we dive into the, storyline and plot, I'll introduce some of the characters in this film. Bastion, who is the main character in the Neverending Stories in this, obviously. Then you have the queen, the childlike empress, and that's another thing. She looks like she's 30 in this film. There's only one real star in this film, and not to say that there were any big-name stars anyways to begin with in the Neverending Story. I think that's maybe one of the things I also liked about the film back in the 1980s. Jack Black is in this film, and he'll be a special guest later on. Be good times with Jack Black. Why he ever starred in this piece of shit is beyond me. I mean, I hope they gave him like $1 billion or something. Or I hope they gave him like something big, like a huge contract or something. Cause my goodness, I mean, this film ruins your career. I'm surprised it didn't ruin his acting career. So, pretty much, the bookkeeper's back, the old man in the bookkeeping store, and here's where there's a really huge discrepancy. That guy was like 90 years old in fucking 1984. How the hell does he look younger? You're telling me 10 years later he like found the fountain of youth? I mean, he looks like 10 or 20 years younger. He looks a little fatter. He looks a little taller. Granted, they probably got another actor, but come on. Like, the dude should be dead. He should be dead. He shouldn't be the same guy, okay? Don't have him be the same guy if it's not going to look like the same guy. You know what I mean? Don't have him be the same character. It's a total discrepancy, and it makes the movie even more laughable than what it should be. It's stupid. Like, why do that? I don't understand. And, like, how can a bookkeeper, okay, if he had a library science degree, don't you think he would be teaching and making more money off of being a librarian than owning his own shitty bookstore in the middle of New York that, like, nobody went to in the first place? Only Bastion went to this bookstore? I mean, come on. Like, you've got to be kidding me. And, I mean, what's with the fact of, like, having a library science degree and using it to use a bookstore, okay? I'm sorry, that just doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. So maybe this guy just, maybe they just decided he was homeless or something, and they decided to give him a freebie job, I mean, because some school districts are like that. So they're like, hey, you used to own a bookstore, that means you're a librarian, so I guess you're a certified librarian. It's horrible. It's illogical is what it is, and it's a discrepancy I hate. So, pretty much his dad has married, and his dad never got married before, because if you know, Bastion's mom in the movie died, so, I mean, even, before the film. So, it's basically about the mom dealing with, or I mean the boy dealing with his mom's death, so his dad's remarried. So, Bastion apparently always wanted a sister. Where the hell is that in the book? Okay, Bastion never wanted a sister, alright? He never wanted a sister. He never wanted anybody in his life but his mom. Alright, let's get that down pat. So why does he have to have a sister? That's the one thing I hate about movies that add on to books. Like, don't make shit up. If it's supposed to be about the story and based on the book, if you're going to put in the titles, in the credits, based on the book, The Neverending Story, don't make shit up. I mean, it just makes it even look worse than what it actually should be. So, anyways, starting out, the film, basically, it basically starts kind of in reverse. It's weird, and it makes no sense whatsoever. It starts out with this guy, in Fagtasia, as I like to call it, because this place is Fagtasia to me. Doesn't even look like anything like Fantasia. Looks like a big pile of heaping puke or something, or a big pile of dog shit to me. I mean, it's like a conglomeration of, shit, basically. It doesn't even, you'd think in 1995 it looked like more high tech, but actually in 1984 it looked a hell of a lot better than what it does in 1995, so I guess it hasn't evolved that much. Well, anyways, it looks like an ice palace, and I never remembered Fantasia being an ice palace, so I guess that's what Fagtasia is. Well, anyways, basically, it starts out where there's some old bum reading he's like a chronicle, and he's chronicalizing the never-ending story, and, he starts reading about the nasty. It sounds like sex. Doing the nasty. Do the nasty. Do the nasty. Do the nasty. So anyways, he's talking about the nasty, and, it's this group of, teenage punks in the high school, and they look like they're, 25 in the film, and they've kept repeating the 12th grade as seniors for, as long as you can remember, so it's unrealistic, because most schools would just boot you out by the time I believe you're 21. After 21, you're not allowed to be in high school in most high schools. Well, I guess they're 25 in the film. I don't really know. I'm just making an estimate. So, that's kind of weird, right? I mean, Bastion, you look at Bastion, the actor Bastion, and he's not even, I looked at the records, and he's only supposed to be, 13 years old. So, I guess the high school has 7th through 12th grade. Is it that small of a high school? And I don't understand. He looks like he's in 5th grade. I'm sorry. I mean, he really does. He doesn't even look like he's in high school at all. So, I guess they just have, 1st through, 12th grade or something. I mean, the discrepancies in this film are just unfucking believable. It just makes no sense whatsoever. Well, anyways, besides that, they're chasing him down in the hallway. He goes to the librarian, he hides in the librarian's office, and he happens to pull out the never-ending story, and he starts reading about it. So, all this time, it flashes back to when he moved in, and then keeps, fast-forwarding through, and you meet his mom and stuff, and, there's a bunch of cheesy lines going on, and, this whole cheesy fucking relationship, and it's I don't want to watch this shit. I don't watch Fantasia. I don't watch fucking Falcor. Where the hell's Falcor at? And, where's the rock monster and, the snail, the guy with the snail, and where's Atreyu and his white horse, damn it? I want to see the goddamn white horse. Well, you're going to be sadly disappointed to hear that fucking Atreyu isn't even in Fantasia anymore. He's not in this Fagtasia. I mean, good grief. How can you have the never-ending story without fucking Atreyu and his white horse? What were they thinking? Oh, my God. Oh. Anyways, basically, pretty much what was going on in this film is that it shows, it's almost like a fast-forward rewind just to prove the fact that it is the never-ending story. Well, I would have saw from the title. So what was the point of, you know, fast forward, then you're going to rewind back to, like, him moving in, and then you're going to fast forward to where he's at, where he's running from the kids in the hall. So that's an extra 20 minutes already wasted in this 95-minute film. So you haven't even seen Fantasia yet or anything, right? Well, somehow, some way, he just magically says, this is my story, I'm going to pop right into the never-ending story. Since when has that ever happened? What? It's always Fantasia calling upon him. He can't just go... I mean, Bastion's never been able to just go to Fantasia whenever the hell he felt like it. It was the Fantasians calling upon him because they needed his fucking help. So, that right there is a total discrepancy. Like, when has Bastion ever, like, been able to pop himself into the never-ending story? Never. It's always Fantasia calling upon him, and Fantasia draws him in. Not the other way around. Holy shit, this fucking film hasn't even been through 30 minutes of it, and it's already topsy-turvy all over this shit. So, it's basically said, the hell with the book, we're just gonna make up our own shitty-ass story. Well, after that, he lands in Fantasia. The Nasties come into the library, and they start deciding, well, we're gonna look for Bastion, we're gonna bully the fuck out of him. Because Bastion, I'm sorry, is a little bitch in this film. And he just looks like a faggoteer to me. And, I mean, seriously, he looks like a kid that you would just seriously pound into the ground. I mean, I would not want to be friends with this kid. he kind of reminds me, he's about as cool as, like, you know, Doogie Howser. Or he's about as cool as, like, Steve Urkel. I mean, gosh, Steve Urkel's, like, you know, the homecoming king compared to this asshole. I mean, seriously. What type of bitch wears, like, a white shirt? Like, a white buttoned-up shirt? And, like, has... The way he has his hair, oh my god. It's, like, the worst hairstyle you could possibly have. It looks like a 5-year-old's haircut, you know, at, like, Master Cuts or something. So, anyways, pretty much... These Nasties, they throw them down in the boiler room, which is actually kind of funny, and they lock them down there. And then there's this Ginger, and that's how you found out that they've been repeating the 12th grade since, like, the 1980s, apparently. I have no clue. I'm just making that up. but they have been repeating the 12th grade a lot, so... And he's like, you guys are going to be expelled, and blah, blah, blah. So, eventually, I guess they get expelled, but all they want to do is just chase after Bastion and focus on him the entire time instead of, like, you know, you'd think you'd go get, like, a real job at, like, McDonald's or something, but don't tell that to the Nasties. They'd rather just stay in school and, you know, beat the hell out of, you know, a little bitch like Bastion all day. So, anyways, they basically chase him in the library. They find the never-ending story. They find out the Bastion's in the story. So, apparently, they're able to control the never-ending story. When has that ever happened? It was supposed to be about Atreyu and his white horse. Where is his white horse? Okay, there's no white horse. Falcor, he starts seeing Falcor eventually, because the Nasties have control of the book, and nobody's ever been able to take control of the book, okay? Nobody besides Bastion. So, that already there is a contradiction. This storyline sucks completely. I mean, I'm already annoyed talking about it. And he looks horrendous. Like, Falcor looks horrendous when you see him. He doesn't even look like, you know, Falcor. And what's with Fantasia? It looks like fucking Dagobah. Did they seriously rip Dagobah right off of, like, Star Wars or something? What the hell? This place looks like a fucking piece of swampland or something. I mean, and then they have the little gnomes, okay? Maybe gnomes were, like, cool in the 1980s when David the Gnome was on, you know? Remember that song? In every wish and happy home there is David the Gnome. You know, like, maybe that was cool, like, back in the day or something, but, like, this is, like, 1990s. I mean, David the Gnome's, like, so gone by this time. So, like, I'm tired of seeing the gnomes. I mean, they're annoying. They have these stupid Irish accents, dear. Oh, I'm gonna make you, dear, a little bit of brandy sauce. Aye, you like that, dearie? It's horrible. I mean, they're stupid, fake, fucking Irish-Scottish accents, you know? I can't tell the difference. I mean, it's like that Seinfeld. Irish-Scottish, what's the difference? So, anyways, pretty much you meet all the new characters, and God, are they horrible. Like, this annoying tree-hugger guy, like, he's like a tree. When the hell does the Never-Ending Story ever talk about trees? Like, they have a tree character they just, you know, fabricated right out of their ass. And then they have the rock guys. Okay, the rock guys. Like, remember how cool, like, the rock guy was? Like, and remember how big he was? This guy was, like, huge. He was, like, the size of, like, you know, Mount Everest, or, like, he dwarfed, Mount Rushmore. And, like, the rock dudes in this, they look like Sour Patch Kids. What the hell? I mean, why would you have the rock monster look like a Sour Patch Kid? Like, the size of a Sour Patch Kid. I'm dead serious. Like, he's no taller than a regular human. What the hell? The cool part about the rock monster was how big he was. And, like, how he chomped down and goes, nom 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 nom. On, like, the rocks. Like, he'd take, a huge boulder, like, you know, huge 300-pound boulder and just go, nom 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 nom. You know, that was the cool part about the Never-Ending Story. But no, not these little fuckers. They're the size of Sour Patch Kids. I mean, they look awful and atrocious. Like, the costumes in this film are just unbelievably bad. Oh, my God. It just pisses you off watching this film. And when the hell did the, you know, rock monster ever have a wife? He has a wife now? And, like, why does it have to, like, everything have to be in rock? Like, okay, when was there a rock television? Like, is there, like, a rock wire, like a rock cable wire that you, like, watch for television or something? And then, when they're going out, you know, Junior, he's about as annoying as hell. He has this, like, 30-year-old voice that tries to talk like a baby. Dada! Me go dada, you go soon. Me want to come too, dada. And I'm dead serious. That's how he talks. Like, I could do that. Are you serious? Like, have a better baby voice. Like, is that... That guy has to be an asshole who played that little rock baby, Junior. I mean, it's not even funny. It's so bad that it's... Oh, man. And then the fact that, like, when he goes on his, like, little power wheel bike or whatever, like, there's this, like, little rock bike or something. I swear they ripped the idea, like, right off of the Flintstones or something here. Because he goes, like, on his rock bike, and how many times have we heard this song, Born to be Wild? He actually sings the song, too. He's like, be there alone, run and run, we drive and drive. Born to be wild. I mean, come on, like, I could do that voice, and I just did it right there, and doesn't that sound annoying? Doesn't that make you, like, want to slam your head up against a wall, like, 10 times? It's bad acting. Like, where did they sign these actors? I want to know, because, like, I want a job. Like, I mean, how much did they get paid for this film? Holy shit, I wouldn't even pay this film...